everyone, you're listening to a sneak peek of Kate and Matt's new podcast, So I Was Thinking, hosted entirely and exclusively on the But Why Though community website's Patreon page. Check it out. Welcome to our brand new show, So I Was Thinking, hosted by me, Kate, and Matt.
Hello.
And this show will be hosted exclusively on the Patreon page for But Why Though, a Geek Community. But in this first episode, we're going to be giving you a sneak peek of what you can expect from our podcast on that platform. And in this episode, we are going to be talking about your internet profile and all of the things that go on with that.
It should be exciting or frightening.
Or terrifying. Terrifying. I'm leaning towards terrifying right now.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Terrifying.
So I guess we can start off with, I guess we should break down what is your internet profile?
Yeah. Yeah, like define. We need to be proper scholars and define our terms. What are we talking about when we need internet profile?
So I'm assuming for your internet profile, which is what we should go with, basically anything you put on your internet. Put on your internet.
On my internet. On my internet. You're doing this on Kate Sanchez's internet?
Well, I mean, if you get a VPN, then it technically like it, right?
That's fair. But also, what I did right there is technically an example of something that I am putting into the world, which is my last name, which it's on my Twitter and stuff, so that's fine. But, like, that is an extra piece of information that now somebody has on me.
Yeah. So, basically, what you may not know, if you can actually just probably Google yourself, you may not think you're important, but pretty much anybody can find out almost any information they want about you to an extent, depending on how much you actually put on the internet. So, obviously, people don't think about it, but like Kate said, as Kate Sanchez, as her Twitter profile, guess what? We now know your first and last name. Depending on your location you put on stuff, you have, obviously, probably a city you live in. And depending how large of a city you live in can probably depend on how easy it is to find you on that way.
Yep. And wherever you check into.
Yes. And so what people don't realize is, honestly, how much information that you're giving. So basically, anytime you fill out a profile, whether it be Twitter, Facebook, or anything else, you're essentially given, you know, one, you're giving company data, which is fine to an extent, obviously. I know that we have a big controversy about data, but you're actually giving just random people, followers, friends, or, you know, any type of that type of stuff, your information about you. For us, obviously, we run a website and stuff, so you have our first and last name. That's fine. You probably kind of know where we're located at in Austin, because obviously we have we state where we're at so you can contact us. You also may not know your email is widely available. In some cases, your phone number is widely available, depending on where you place it as well. And so, I guess the whole point of this episode and show is people don't realize how much they're actually giving away by stuff. Because we will kind of talk about doxing and kind of how, obviously, that is bad. But there's a lot of times that you almost actually dox yourself.
Yeah, like, so this is a lot. We're not going to offer any damn solution to the problem. We're just going to tell you how essentially, at least in my perspective, like, how essentially we contribute to it. Like, obviously, it doesn't excuse people doing shitty things with our information. But at the end of the day, like, we've become such an intimately, like, connected society that we don't hesitate in saying, oh, yeah, I am located in Austin, Texas. Or, like, for us, because we run a website, when we go to conventions, we say where we're going because that is good marketing. And that is usually what depending on the stipulations of the press agreement, they want you to market that you're going to be covering them because it's marketing for them. But what that also does is if you have an online stalker and you tell them that you're going to be at PAX West in, you know, a few days, they know that they can find you at PAX West.
Correct. But, I mean, obviously those are kind of more large situations where obviously PAX West has like, what, 80,000 people? So finding in a crowd of 80,000 people is a little different. But what people don't realize is obviously it doesn't seem like it kind of, at least in my opinion, what I've seen is it kind of diminished of people doing it a lot less. But you have like apps, like I think it was, I believe it's Foursquare, I believe.
Yeah, Foursquare and Swarm.
Yes, that like, or and even general Facebook of checking in. And what people don't realize is, one, when you check in somewhere, one, you obviously give people your exact location. But by doing so, you also give them essentially the city, your state, your city, your zip code, and location. And then anybody with a common, if you look at your profile, you can pretty much almost just spread it on a map and kind of almost break down exactly within probably a few block radius of where you live.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, because like when you stop and you think about it, like at the end of the day, unless we're doing something that's like extremely special, the majority of us who check in at places frequently, we're checking in at places frequently by our houses.
Yep.
Close to where we live. And honestly, it's one of the scary things when you think about like all the sorts of check-ins is if you check in every third Thursday of the month, because that's when a big movie release comes out at, you know, at Alamo Drafthouse and the specific one you're at, then if somebody is watching what you're doing, they know that on the first Thursday of every month, you're going to be there. And yeah. It gets a little scary when you start thinking about people doing that. Now, I never check in on like a public on, so like I use my Facebook. I check in on my Facebook, but I don't add anybody to my Facebook because that's, there's like a barrier, I think, between Facebook and Twitter, where Facebook are people that I actually know, and Twitter is literally just the entire damn Twitter sphere.
Yeah. I guess also, because obviously we've got a lot of this, because we've done, one, obviously working just as a website and doing other stuff and kind of not really, you know, being, I guess, putting yourself out there as people do media, but I know this comes out big along with Twitch, because Twitch and other streaming platforms where you have video content has also put your, ran into a lot of problems and such, that, like, people don't realize when you wear t-shirts about, like, specific places or specific restaurants, especially local restaurants, because one thing said, I went to McDonald's. It's another thing to say, I went to, like, I don't even want to say a local restaurant that's around here, but you know, like
I went to Central Point Station, which I only think that there's one in that random Texas city that we've seen before. Like,
yeah,
if there is a chain that is specific to your city, maybe don't post that you're going to it a lot.
Yeah, but I guess what people don't realize is, like, the background of your photos and the background, or even what you're wearing sometimes, because people wear, like, you know, I wore my high school t-shirt, or, like, a lot of people have had issues where they wear their children's high school t-shirts or, like, support stuff, and you're like, oh, my child go to, you know, this high school or this middle school. Well, that's not hard to find.
Yeah, we've gone to a couple of, I think PAX East was the last one we had gone to, but it was a Streaming While Marginalized panel, and they were talking about ways to protect yourself because of the amount of, like, stuff, you know, the essentially just bigotry that happens in chat and, like, harassment that happens, and there were people on the panel who had been doxxed, and they explained that, like, you can remove yourself from the internet using the white pages, but ultimately, if there is anything about your stream that shows where you live, even tangentially, you're putting yourself at risk. And so they talked a lot about making sure that you kind of like curate a public persona, if anything. You curate your stream and your video, like don't have a cup from the restaurant that's only available in your city on your desk and use that. Don't, because when people get obsessive like that, they will look at those things. And that's the scary thing, is like every little thing that you put out there is giving somebody another piece into your life. That being said, the more that you do focus on content creation, your hands are kind of tied because you need to promote yourself. You need to promote where you're going. You need to promote your location, because a lot of the times, if you don't promote your location, then people won't reach out to you for events that are going on in that place. And so it kind of forces this, like, really, like, the internet puts us in, like, this constant, all the time self-marketing scheme where we have to use our information, but then at the same time, it also puts that information in front of people who could potentially be doing some pretty shitty things.
Yeah. I guess outside of, like, I guess get before we get into doxing stuff, I guess it's the main thing, because we've ran into this with other people, of like, they complain of, like, somebody knows, you know, where I'm at, or they, you know, they know this stuff, or they're looking at it, or they said something to me, and I'm like, yeah, but you also posted it, you went here yesterday. Of course they have a general idea of where you live at. And so, obviously, doxing's bad, and we'll get into that in a second, but just how much data and information you are actually putting out for not only whether it be a company or just the general public and thing, I just don't think people realize anymore. I know we get mad at Facebook, like, oh, they collected all my data and they give it. Yeah, but most of the time you pretty much told them exactly what you were doing, how many kids you had, what your dog is, and, you know, your house. You took pictures of your house. Heck, I can Google Map that.
Yeah, and that's definitely the other thing, too, is, like, I think that they're, because we haven't really been at this type of, I don't want to say crossroads, but, like, this kind of, like, intersection between public and private life before the advent of things like social media, I think that it's really easy for people to blame companies over blaming themselves. Like, obviously, like, if a company sells your data, okay, whatever. But at the end of the day, when you do sign into these apps and you do sign into these, you know, these social media platforms, you are giving them permission to use what you look at, what you type, for them to run machine learning and learn your habits to then sell you things. Like, those types of algorithms, like, I mean, obviously a really smart person has to make, but, like, those types of things are things that you opt into by agreeing to use that platform. It's shitty, but if you're going to use a free platform, they're going to use that to make money. Otherwise, they cannot provide you that service.
Which, obviously, is shit, in fact, that we have terms and services are now, like, probably 700 pages.
They are, and that sucks, but...
Now, to me, that's probably more of an issue than, like, not necessarily the biggest issue, but I have an issue with that, per se, because your terms and service don't need to be, you know, longer than entire books.
No, they don't.
And
they
so, don't. Like, really, I think if you can make people break that down with, you know, legal jargon that we always do into more simplistic things of, like, your terms and services have to be, like, 2 pages.
Yeah.
And to me, I'm like, obviously, the legal ramifications of that, but it's one of those, I just feel like if you can't put your terms and services in, like, maybe 2 pages max, then there's probably something else going on.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I think that's really fair. I do also know that a lot, if not all, big social media platforms, they have to allow you to turn off those features. But that requires you taking the extra step and going into your privacy settings and saying what you want and don't want, and what you want and don't want them to do, which a lot of people don't do. And a lot of it takes, like, going into, like, advanced privacy settings and everything like that. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, yeah, companies are shady, but I'm also like, Karen, if you don't want people to know that you have a child, don't post 200 pictures of your child.
Correct. Yeah, so that's, like, probably the whole point of your internet profile reason why we want to do this, because it's been this whole thing of, like, everybody blaming everything else, and we get it, like, whether it be doxing or everything else, or companies doing your data, that's bad. But at the end of the day, you can't protect, you know, obviously you can't protect yourself from everything, but there are quite a bit of things that you can actually do, and if you just take a step back and realize what all you're actually putting out there, and, you know, stuff that you don't think about. The funny thing I look at, people do these birthday things or their name things, where they're like, pick out my name, my you know, my new superhero name based on your birthday. And I'm like, cool, I now know when you were born.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too, is, like, so many of these, like, hey, choose, what is it? Your superhero name is the name of your first pet and the name of the city you live in. Like, dude, those are password protect questions. You do not need to be answering any of those things.
Yeah, I got so many people's birthdays just because they answer this and think it's cool. And people don't realize that's just one way to farm actual data from people.
Yeah.
You think it's fun because I'm now Captain Extremo or something, but guess what? I know that you were born on August 14th of 1994.
Yep.
So, But no, stuff like that, I think people stop and realize. I mean, because they can be fun, and obviously, you know, stuff like it's just nonchalant. You don't think they matter. And in the grand scheme of things, they probably don't. But if you are worried about any types of stuff of people wondering, like, how do you know this about me? Well, you gave it to me.
Yeah.
So I guess from moving on there, from giving out things to, I guess, actual doxing, can you kind of, you've obviously probably dealt with this more because of your lovely department than I have. And so,
if you wanna... Yeah, people in my department got doxed. Yeah, so doxing is essentially, this is a simplistic, but doxing is the effect of taking somebody's personal information. So this usually entails phone number, address, place of work, those like really important things that you don't ever want anybody knowing unless you personally give it to them, and putting it on the internet or circulating it specifically within circles to target people. Doxing is also how you wind up with people getting swatted. And if you don't know what swatted is, that's the effect where somebody calls the SWAT team and sends them to your house and has resulted in deaths.
Which, so, I have a whole other issue with that.
A
of
whole
like,
other issue with swatting.
Like, why are we actually killing people here at this point? But anyways.
Yeah, like, one, the person should have sent it to them to their house. Two, the police shouldn't be using that excessive force when they're
coming. We opened fire because we got a phone call.
Yeah, no, I understand. But still, those two things are intertwined. And doxing can happen for any reason. Somebody just has to want to do it. Is a specific event that I recognized, and our faculty told all of the grad students to take our information off of the website, was when faculty members signed campus carry was getting passed in Texas that would directly affect UT. UT has been subject to two different school shootings, one while I was there. And faculty and grad students overwhelmingly did not want this. So faculty members publicly signed a petition, as did grad students. I signed it, telling people that they were fed up. So they put their full name and department in the state of Texas. All I need is your full name to look you up to see what you get paid. And when you go through that, you can easily find addresses and things. This led to people getting suspicious packages, death threat calls, death threat letters, and led to pretty much an extreme security presence in our building because of that. This was also compounded on the fact that it was because they didn't want guns on campus, so these are pro-gun people doing this. And it was the religious studies department, which people already didn't like us, and we already got strange calls and death threats just for the fact that we did that stuff, which is the historical study of religion, or the devil's work, as some of those people said. So, yeah. Most of the time, people just need a first name and last name, especially if you're depending on what type of work you do. If you do any sort of public-facing work, people can find you with those two things. Yes. And it's terrifying.
Yeah, because we even talked about doing podcasts, because we've ran into this. I remember back a long, long time ago when we first started out this, I remember the first podcast we recorded, you like said all that information. I was like, yeah, we're going to delete this. And you're like, what? I'm like, you gave somebody way too much information. Because you just basically said, oh, I went here, here, and here, and this is my name.
I probably would have been doxed by now if it weren't for Matt.
Probably. But no, because to the extent you can't control, obviously, so the difference between, like, what we talked about before in doxing is these people, obviously, are going to go through any means necessary to find you.
Yes.
So, whether it be, you know, like I said, looking up stuff, paying for information, or just, you know, putting a bunch of clues together. The other part is just you actually doing this nonchalantly, which would probably either help them, per se, which you don't think about it, but regardless of what you do, you can be because I'm pretty good at not giving my information out, even though sometimes I'm like, I don't mind. Regardless, people can still dox you, and it still happens, no matter what you do, unless you just clean yourself and just never, you know, you basically can't work in media of any sort.
Unless you are Ron Swanson.
Yeah.
Well, because, like, when you think about it, like, everybody that we've ever given a business card to has our full names, email addresses, and phone numbers.
Correct.
Which you can find out all those things. You can find out people's IP addresses from their emails. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing like that people probably don't talk about. And I think I brought this up with you one time we discussed this of like, usually the people that are doxing or you get mad or even like the troll, you know, they talk about like all the trolls and, you know, we make stuff on the internet. These aren't just, you know, like this person lives in their mom's basement and all those, you know, the jokes we brought up with people going up, but whether nerds, geeks or whatever want to talk about. Yeah, these people now learn computers.
Yeah.
These aren't people just doing normal stuff anymore from like whatever thing. These are people like they work in IT all the time.
Yeah, like, obviously that is based on a stereotype, but correct. At the same time, I would say almost every person we've met in real life or have talked to outside of Twitter who is from comic books Twitter has, like, an IT job running diagnostics or getting information. Like, actually, like, when you think about it, like, there are a lot of roles in the world that may not even necessarily be dealt directly with IT stuff, but there are a lot of research positions at companies where your entire job is to find people.
Yes.
You can abuse that skill for bad.
Yeah, and
I think more likely than not, working in this age and like coming of age in this kind of like world, like you have to be good in these things. And I do think, although it's a stereotype of people of, you know, geeks or nerds, whatever you want to call them, being like highly technological or like loving of technology, there is a lot of overlap there.
Yeah, which is what I was going to say of like, as much as we talked about the stereotypes, you're not finding the traditional farmer anymore. People are working with computers in almost everything they do now.
Yeah.
I mean, we even make the joke with, like, McDonald's or even, like, now how we order our pizza online. We don't even talk to people anymore. Or, you know, we have these self-serve menus and everything of, like, people who have, you know, are getting jobs now regardless have, and even in schools of, like, you're being taught basic computer skills. You're being taught things way above even you and I were taught growing up far as computer-wise. So, and, you know, if you make it easy for somebody, anybody that can, you know, basically knows what the interwebs is, can probably do something. And whether you're IT or not, I mean, I just think about, like, I guess some other
even
jobs.
Even just being able to, like, know how to use Google.
Yeah.
Like, I've, like,
that's a skill, surprisingly.
Yeah, like, I've interviewed for some jobs where, like, the thing you have to do is run an advanced Boolean search in Google called an X-ray, which will literally pick up any single freaking thing that you put in there. And that's not something that is necessarily needed or like only needed by jobs, by a specific skill set. That's something you can learn really yep. easily. Like, it's quotations and parentheses and ands and ors. Like, it's not hard. But, like, I do want to say, too, like, especially when it comes to doxing, I do think that it is this thing where people think about it when it's too late, right? Like,
yes.
Specifically when you start thinking about, like, Comicsgate stuff. So, like, whenever you get, like, the attention of a Comicsgater, you're kind of like, oh, shit, in my opinion, they're probably the worst, like, hate community. So, and when I say worse, as in like they have been noted for doing more than just flooding your Twitter account. They will dox and they will SWAT, which makes them really scary. But it's one of those things is that a lot of people don't think about what can happen until they've gotten their attention already, and by then it's already terrifying.
Yep.
I mean, it's like, so, I mean, I was pretty public about it on Twitter, but like when I got I wrote an article and that article got picked up by a dark web Nazi site, and they ridiculed me and they ridiculed the thing I was talking about, and they were very scary, capital N Nazi, like the scariest crap I have ever read. And when Matt read more in and found out that they are very dangerous people, I was like, oh god, what kind of information can they get from me? Oh my god, are they gonna dox me? Like, it, I mean, none of that happened, but it was one of those things that like I was thinking about that fear But I had done nothing to protect myself up until that point, which puts me at an extreme disadvantage of protecting myself at that point.
Yep. Which kind of leads into this last part. This is going to be about you, because apparently this is a prototypical internet profile things, apparently. But what you want to talk about, what are called deep fakes, apparently. I didn't know deep we were doing fakes. The Deep South here, but sure.
Yeah, so deep fakes are actually really terrifying, and you can find them on GitHub, by the way. You can find people's code for deep fakes. But essentially, deep fakes is a portmanteau of deep learning and fake, and it's a technique that uses image synthesis based on artificial intelligence. So essentially what it does is it uses these machine learning algorithms to put together different... So if I have a video of... there is one that they did with like President Obama and Jordan Peele, but like if you take a picture, if you take a video of President Obama talking on one side and you take a picture of Jordan Peele talking on the other side, and you run the machine learning algorithm, what the AI will do is it will match all of the points that those faces align and match up. And then what you can do is you can actually swap that face onto the other one, because the machine learning GAN, I think is what it is, it attaches it seamlessly. And you can essentially make people look like they're doing things that they're not. This has mainly been a problem with like celebrity porn or revenge porn. Like, that's pretty much like where this has come from, but it has started being used to make like fake news and stuff like that, as well as like hoaxes. But the reason that I wanted it, and we can talk about this more in a different episode, but I wanted to bring it up for the internet profile, is because they do this with videos that you take of yourself and sound bites that you have from yourself. So as people who have streamed in the past and have archived videos of us on the internet, as well as people who do weekly podcasts, there's a lot of actual audio and visual content of us out there that could be used for malicious means. Now, this technology is really expensive, and it is at a higher level that not just everybody can do it, but technology moves fast, and that can change really easily, really quickly. All it takes is just one really good hack on the AI itself, and it will work for a lot less.
Which I think we might even get into, because when you first said this and explained this, the first thing that came to mind was facial recognition technology, which has been another thing, because as much as we love the Snapchat filter, if everybody turned themselves either to a man or a woman, you'll realize that there's a lot of stuff that can be taken with you taking those pictures and those filters.
Yeah, the deep type of, I've learned a lot about this recently. And just because, like, the nature of my job, but, like, the deep level of machine learning that goes into running a simple Snapchat filter is insane. Like, ugh.
But, yeah. Which is probably one of those, like, while you have fun with it, they're using the technology to build actual stuff, and where they actually get their money from outside of probably ads.
Mm-hmm. There was also the deepfake that it was a lot easier. I mean, it was a deepfake in that it was really well done, but it also could just easily be like a Photoshop of somebody, where essentially like they Photoshopped a celebrity's face on a model's body that was modeling like a t-shirt from like a clothing company. But yeah, I just wanted to mention that because like, there are people who stream for 5,000 hours, and they're like, yes, I've streamed for 5,000 hours. I'm like, yeah, now somebody has 5,000 hours of video of you to make it, that could, if they had intent, make it seem like you're doing something that you're not.
Yep. So
all the world is a lie.
Well, we knew that. Well, I think that should be about it. Wrapping up, I guess, our very first episode of Insert Name. If you want to.
Yeah. So now that we're wrapped up, we do want to tell you, if you want to hear all of the other episodes that we have coming out, make sure you head on over to patreon.com/butwhytho, B-U-T-W-H-Y-T-H-O, and subscribe to us on, subscribe to us on Patreon. At the $5 tier, you get access to this show and others. So if you like what you heard, come support our website. And you can find me on Twitter at @OmaMythRandier. Matt?
I'm not giving you any of my information. We just did my internet profile.
That's fair. We'll be right back.